Meeting is now being recorded.
Hello, everyone. This is Brenda speaking. Welcome to RDS Who Is to plenary call number 40 on 27 August 2018 at 1500 UTC. Attending the call today is Dimitri, Alan, Stephanie, Susan, Chris, Volker, Lily, Erica, and Carlton. From ICANN.org, Jean-Baptiste, Brenda, Steve, Alice, and Lisa. There are no observers at this time, and I have no apologies. Today's call is being recorded. May I please remind you to state your name before speaking? Alan, I'll turn the call over to you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And I know we have the whole team minus Catherine and Thomas at this point. And hopefully Catherine will join us as we proceed. Are there any changes to statements of interest that we need to record? Seeing none, we'll go on to the first agenda item, which is to review the draft sections. And essentially, we're looking for substantive comments on or comments, corrections, objections on the recommendations and hopefully the rest of the report. But we are going to focus to start with on the recommendations. And I will ask Lisa to take us through those.
Thanks. Thanks, Alan. This is Lisa Pfeiffer for the transcript, starting with the executive summary.
Okay.
Jean-Baptiste is loading it and has just scrolled to the executive summary section. You see in red line some text edits that were submitted. So this is the executive summary as Alan redrafted after our last call, including edits that Alan then addressed that Erica submitted, and also some comments, as you see, from Stephanie Perrin on the right.
All right. I'm going to presume that any of the edits that are in line are not substantive. I have not done a final review of the version that you're seeing right now, but Lisa, I believe, has essentially integrated changes that are either obviously grammar or similar or clarifications and has put in comments things that may or may not be generally agreeable. And the intent right now is to go through those and try to see what it is. Okay, the addition of registration data services, essentially, I think that first change, that's comment SP1, is just adding the definition for RDS. Lisa, is that correct?
Yeah. Yes, Stephanie had proposed adding or registrant data service, which actually isn't an expansion of RDS I had heard before, so that's why I included it as a comment.
I believe it is registration data, the directory, so I believe whatever the term is in our terms of reference is the one we're using. So I would leave it at that, and I believe I took the one out of the terms of reference. We can certainly add a footnote if there's evidence that the other term is used other places. We can add it as a footnote. Stephanie, if you can point us to a reference offline, but right after this meeting, we can certainly add that as a note. The next one is a suggestion saying when ICANN created the who is, everything was public, and Stephanie has added the clause, but privacy demands soon gave rise to mechanisms to comply with privacy wishes and legal requirements. That implies to me that ICANN implemented such mechanisms, and I don't believe that is either accurate or what we're trying to say. I would suggest that we can certainly say that although privacy considerations began arising, ICANN did not take any action on that. Stephanie, is that acceptable?
Hi, Stephanie Perrin for the record. We started accepting privacy proxy services very, very early, certainly before 2003.
Okay, so this is a reference to privacy proxy.
Yep.
That wasn't clear at all to me.
Well, understand
that wasn't clear from your wording is all I'm saying.
If you want to put in brackets, e.g., privacy proxy services.
No, noted. Okay, Lisa will make an appropriate change to make sure that's a reference to privacy proxy. We can refine the wording as we go ahead. Thank you, Stephanie. That's a good point. And the next one was clarifying that it's not the policy is not necessarily a policy, it's contractual obligations. That's fine. All right. The next one that Lisa has listed as alternate, each group provide a thorough analysis, proposal analysis. I'm willing to take out the word thorough. I don't think that is controversial, so I'm willing to accept that. Stephanie, you have your hand up.
Sorry, old hand.
Okay. Next substantive change, or the one that Lisa has identified as potentially controversial, is, I don't see any more. That's it. So we caught them all, Lisa, is that correct?
That's correct, and I think you caught them all in the executive summary itself.
Okay.
Not in the recommendations, of course.
Yeah, no, well, now on to the recommendations. All right, so we have a number of, sorry, it's disappeared now. Someone else has taken control of the screen. All right, Lisa, can you take us through the recommendations one by one and identify what has changed and ask one by one if there are any objections to it?
We can do that, Alan. We've actually prepared slides with the recommendations so that we could review each of the sections and then do that call on each recommendation.
That's fine, then. Should we try to come to closure on priority as we're going through them? We can certainly leave any out if we can come to closure quickly, I think that's best.
We can do that. We did also include a separate agenda item for prioritization.
Not
conflate the issue, but we can do that as we go through.
Yeah, I noticed there it is in that column, though. I didn't think we had it. So, if we can come to closure quickly on it, I don't want to have debates. But if we all agree, then it's something we can tick off.
Sure.
Okay, back
and,
to you.
And in that vein, may I ask, with the changes that we just discussed on the executive summary,
mm-hmm.
Is the executive summary adopted? Are there any objections?
Thank you. I see no hands. I hear no voices. We'll consider the executive summary adopted. And to be clear, we are missing two of our members, but neither of them voiced any objections going forward. Back to you, Lisa.
All right. Thank you, Alan. So that brings us to recommendation 1-1. We have attempted to flag in red text on the slide that you should be seeing on the screen any text that changed since our last plenary call. During our last plenary call, we agreed to add the phrase to ensure that RDS, who is treated as a strategic priority to the front end of this recommendation, and, of course, to expand the every occurrence of RDS to say RDS who is appropriate. So there's been no substantive change to this recommendation since our last plenary call. I guess we should display the section on strategic priority. Jean-Baptiste is bringing that up.
Okay. It's going to take an awful long time if we're going to be flipping back and forth each time.
We can certainly use the report itself as the reference.
That may be easier then.
All right. Then that puts us on what page of the report, Jean-Baptiste?
Sorry, so I was on mute. On page 17.
All right, so we're on page 17 of the report. There is some rephrasing in the bottom of the introduction section to this subgroup's output. It just mirrors a similar rephrasing that was made to the executive summary. I think it was a combination of Erica, Alan, and Stephanie that suggested this clarification.
That's fine with me.
All right, then that takes us to, I'm going to scroll forward till I find actual substantive items for discussion.
Okay, we each have our own
scrolling
abilities to tell us where you end up.
So on page 21, there is a comment from Stephanie, and I think I haven't missed anything.
We make no comment on this initiative. Working group output is expected within 90 days and will include a straw man model. This is in regard to the... This is the original recommendation. The board implementation. Stephanie, I think that's true, but I'm not quite sure it really alters anything. At this point, we can consider that as we're doing a final report, but I don't think it warrants a change at this point, given that we have to get this out within a week. I'm assuming Stephanie will have an objection if she says so. Volker, please go ahead.
Yes, I just had a comment to the previous section, and you didn't see me there. So I just wanted to say that I think it's not quite right to say that GDPR is an area of grave concern, or what was the exact language there? Significant concern, but rather significant importance. I don't think concern is the right word to use here. We're not concerned about GDPR. We're concerned about how the impact of GDPR is going to look like.
Okay, I'm happy to replace concern with importance.
Thank you.
Anyone object to that? I see no hands. Erica says she can't hear a thing. I don't know what that means. Brenda, can you check with Erica, try to find out what's going on?
Certainly. Thank you.
All right. So we will change concern to importance, and SP7, we will not take any action at this point. if everyone is agreeable, and proceed. Lisa?
Thank you. Sorry, Alan. Of course, Lisa Pfeiffer again for the transcript. I'm not going to continue to repeat that.
Please don't.
Stephanie had a had a comment on page 22 on your screens, which is with regard to the last paragraph in this section on 3231. While I agree that the current policy for WHOIS appears in the 2013 REA, this is not acknowledged as policy. These are requirements developed in absence of policy. So I would suggest rewording.
How about putting policy in quotes and a footnote? Is that acceptable?
This is Stephanie, if I may. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
I think that this is deserves more than a footnote, this whole discussion of policy. I mean, whether you agree with me or not as to what the 2013 RAA is, I mean, in my view, it's the only WHOIS policy that exists because it sets the parameters for data collection, use, disclosure, and retention. If that isn't policy, I don't know what is. But it was not developed as consensus policy, and furthermore, some of the elements are picket fence and some aren't, and it's not at all clear. I don't care what Becky says. It's not at all clear what elements are picket fenced and what aren't. So I think we need more than a footnote. We need some kind of paragraph explaining what policy means. We should not assume that everybody who reads this report has read all the other material that we've read or is a veteran at ICANN that wink, wink, nudge, nudge, knows what policy is.
Stephanie, I'm agreeing with you 100%. I'm not disagreeing at all. I'm just saying for expediency, I think the easiest way to integrate that in right now is to do it with a footnote by putting in quotes and with a footnote. And, again, we can revise and clean this up as we go through the final version.
Okay, perfect. And maybe I'll come up with a paragraph or two on policy that might help, okay?
Yeah, I mean, we're on a timeline right now that if this report doesn't get finished by Friday, we don't have Lisa working with us anymore, and we're on our own. And
oh,
I really want to get this out.
Very good, Ben. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Stephanie. Next.
Thank you. So we'll put policy in quotes, footnote, explanation, and that will be the change for that point.
Minus the reference to Becky Burr, yes.
So that takes us to page 26 in the description of problem issue, where Stephanie has questioned the conclusion of the subgroup that these actions went a long way towards achieving the intended aim, but could not replace the strategic outlook and advanced planning. Stephanie suggests that went a long way is a bit too strong.
How about these actions were a critical move or a critical something towards achieving, a critical step. Stephanie, is that okay? I'm assuming if you don't speak out, it is. Stephanie is typing slowly. Necessary first step, that's fine. Lisa, note that, necessary first step.
Noted.
Let's go. Continue, please.
Okay, that takes us to the actual recommendations, which is begin on page 27 of what
the host has left the meeting to speak with meeting support and will rejoin soon.
I hope we're all still here.
We are still here, except for the host who's left the meeting.
So I had already read the recommendations recommendation 1-1, and indicated that the text was from changes or from our last plenary call. There's a comment from Stephanie here on the findings, not on the recommendation text, but on the findings that support it, regarding, well, actually, Stephanie, why don't I let you actually indicate what your comment is here, since it's a rather long one. Stephanie, are you able to speak to this comment?
Yes, sorry. Which comment? Are you referring to page 27?
Page 27, the comment on the findings, where you commented on the text implementation not yet being sufficient.
Yeah, for some reason we can't see the whole comment.
Sorry, I'm shuffling between. I have to be on the phone now, so I'm shuffling between the computers.
And if you slide to the right or discrete, shrink the font size, you can see the whole comment.
No, it does still get cut out, but I'll look at it on the.
Yeah,
and
sure.
Alan, your voice is faint, just so you know.
I beg your pardon?
Alan's voice has been faint.
Oh, okay. Is it any better?
I haven't changed
anything, but.
Well.
Okay, Stephanie, comment.
I think my comment was, doubtless I brought this up before and was rejected, but here is a, how do I shrink this or enlarge it so that I can read it?
There is no way. I'm looking at the Word doc at the PDF. PDF is broken.
Okay, I'm going to put it full screen. I still can't read it even.
No, it's the PDF is missing some text. Let me try to pull up the Word document.
Okay,
I'll copy it into the chat text, and I can also. Oh, I see it. Jean-Baptiste has already done so.
Oh, good. Doubtless, I brought this up before and was rejected. I mean, as you read through the entire narrative, we fail to note that, I mean, you'd almost not understand that there has been a huge fight about this, that the data protection authorities have written over a dozen times, that we've had numerous workshops at which people came and fought, that there was, you know, pressure to accommodate, and that there was a dissent from the EWG report, which was noticed by the data protection commissioners. So I just think we are making this sound very positive. Everything was going along. The board went along and made it a strategic priority. No, they didn't, you know. If they had, we wouldn't be in the mess we're in. I realize that we reached that conclusion, but we don't describe any of the background documents.
Okay, I'm looking for a quick edit that can address this. I understand the history. How about if we add in here, I'm not going to try to wordsmith it here, but if we make it clear that ICANN did not take any substantive action to address these data protection requirements.
Yeah, I mean, the problem basically boils down to recommendation 1 and 2 reinforce this narrative that, oh, we didn't know this was going on.
No, no.
I mean, every darn important company that goes to ICANN had already done their homework. We bloody well knew it was going on. We need to at least, you know, unless we want people to look at these two recommendations and say, are you kidding? Were you not paying attention for the last 15 years?
Okay, Stephanie, let's keep the rhetoric out of this and try to focus. I made a suggestion that we put in saying ICANN did not take any action to address the arising data protection regulations and laws.
Where would you put that?
Somewhere in this paragraph where it says not sufficient, where it currently says it's not yet sufficient do we make it clear that they did not take any action, which I believe is accurate.
Well, I don't want to hold us up while we try and draft this.
No, we can't do that. We will not get through what we have to do if we do that.
I believe it goes in findings.
Yeah, that's where you have the not sufficient highlighted. I'm saying in that paragraph we'll place not sufficient with some phrase that implies or says clearly that ICANN did not take any action at all to address
longstanding dissension over data protection law. Okay.
Okay.
I'll add something if I can.
Well, or Lisa will add something, and we can then judge.
Mm.
All right, let's go on to the next one, please.
Sorry, this is Lisa. I have tried to include some text in the chat, which Volker has also helpfully added some text. Hopefully we can craft that into in addition to the findings that would satisfy that concern. I would also note that there's an entire section on analysis and findings, which I think does discuss it to some extent.
Thank you.
Yes, that's the point I wanted to make out, that there's a section down there that actually went into that. So you can do a recursive on it, but
yeah,
there's a section that is going to it.
Okay, I don't think adding what we're talking about hurts it. If it repeats it, fine.
Yes, and I think possibly just including a C also section and the other section number might tie the two together.
That's fine. On the change you now have on page 28 could be affected to saying was made. I have no problem with that unless anyone else does.
Hearing no objections.
Let's proceed.
Believe we have one final comment here, and that is on the third recommendation.
We never did. We skipped over the R1.2, though.
I apologize. Jumping through the document is quite difficult.
R1.2
has not changed for a while and was agreed on previous plenary calls, but it is to support this mechanism. The ICANN board should instruct ICANN organization to assign responsibility for monitoring legislative and policy development around the world and to provide regular updates to the board.
Okay, and to note on recommendation 1.1, which we had no objections on, it was rated as high, and I'll presume there are no objections with all of the 1-point-something recommendations rated as high. Okay, 1.2, no objection. Not hearing or seeing anything. That one is accepted and rated high. And we'll go on to 1.3, please.
1.3, the ICANN board should update the charter of its board working group on RDS to ensure the necessary transparency of the group's work, such as providing for records of meetings and meeting minutes to enable future review of its activities. There was an editorial change to rationale that doesn't seem to change the substance of the recommendation. And we did previously agree to this. Stephanie has a comment here on the priority, but, of course, we haven't discussed priority yet for this. The priority suggested by the rapporteur is that this was of less importance than the previous two recommendations.
Lisa, did you assign a priority to 1.3? It's not on the slide deck. It's missing.
We did not, since it wasn't stated by the rapporteur.
Okay.
It's not clear if the rapporteur would have meant low or medium.
All right. Okay, the recommendation
1.2 was high.
1.2 is high. 1.3 we're talking about now.
No, we had a discussion around it. Catherine is on, if you could tell.
Catherine,
yes,
welcome.
Catherine, sorry. Thanks. I've been on for a while, but I can't join in Adobe because the network is not strong enough. But just to say that I didn't rate it in terms of high, medium, or low. I mean, I just simply stated that I thought it was less important than the previous two because, to me, the transparency aspect is more of a horizontal question. So transparency is always important. But in comparison to 1.1 and 1.2, I would still consider that this is of lower importance because, in a way, it's just keeping a record of what should be happening public, but rather, in my view, 1.1 and 1.2 would still be more important.
All right. So how would
I be happy with a somewhat lower, yeah.
Then let us say
go
medium.
Ahead, Alan, sorry.
Let us say medium. And set medium and in terms of the sentence there, it says this recommendation is of less importance than the above, however it serves, and omit the first phrase and say medium and then it serves to create as the rationale. So we're not comparing it to the others anymore and just explaining why we believe it's medium. We have agreement?
Yes.
All right. Then the recommendation has no objections and it's rated as medium with the appropriate change in the text. Back to you, Lisa. Lisa, we can't hear you.
Oh, and I said it so eloquently. I was on mute. We've had no objections to the text as modified in this draft and during this call, and the three recommendations are adopted with the priorities given up for the first two and medium for the third.
Okay.
All right, let's move on to recommendation number two, single HULIS policy. Here, this section actually has no recommendations and has not changed for a while. We did previously have no objections to this in our last plenary meeting. However, we do have some objections now. The first one appears, if I scroll forward, on page 33. This is somewhat between editorial and substantive, so I marked it here, which is that Stephanie questioned on each of the indented paragraphs starting on page 33 whether this was material quoted from somewhere else. And, in fact, it was the finding of the subgroup that the review team then agreed to in our last face-to-face. Hopefully we have made that somewhat clearer by saying the RDS who is to, should say, review team, instead of we, I take it that Stephanie may not have understood that.
Yeah.
Did you have objections to that, Stephanie?
It's Alan. A question. Why are, if it's simply part of our findings, why are we indenting it?
It was for readability, Alan. This
okay.
is what Carlton did in his final draft.
Okay.
And we can preface it with finding colon, if that makes it easier, too. I believe that was done in another section.
Yeah, I don't really want to agonize over the formatting right now, although I'm not quite sure quoting ourselves is appropriate, but that's more stylistic than anything else. If we can make it clear what it is we are doing here, then I agree. It's a little bit confusing to look at without that context. Stylistically, it may need some changes, but that can come at the next round. I'm assuming if I don't hear any objection, that's acceptable.
That's fine with me.
Okay.
So we'll preface that with finding and remove the indentation and maybe make this 1, 2, 3, 4, whatever.
Yeah,
makes it clear, breaks the section apart in a way that can be read.
Yeah. If it doesn't read well by removing the indenting, then just leave it.
So the next comment then is on page 34. It's comment SP14, again, Stephanie, are you able to read your comment, or do we need to put it in chat?
Sadly,
it looks
I got kicked off Adobe, so I can't see which section you're pointing to.
We're pointing to comment SP14, which is the paragraph is finally insofar as the EWG's report recommendations are actioned, whether the collaboration three-phase framework developed and so forth. And your comment is, I object to this section. First, it is very unclear. What does insofar as the EWG's final report recommendations are action mean? The report never achieved consensus. I believe the report was adopted with consensus with your objections, and the board, I believe, accepted that report as written.
Sure, but it's not a consensus policy.
That's the point.
It's
no one said it.
Report.
Yeah, I don't think anyone said it's policy.
The way this reads, it implies that once that report was received by the board, that we were going to go ahead and implement it, even though there is explanation. I'm still not back on Adobe. I'm having a hard time here. Even though we have explained that the board had to do the following processes in order to initiate a PDP following this, and the board struck this. But the recommendations made by the EWG to the board, because this was an extraordinary process, as was pointed out many times by Chuck in Gomes in the RDS working group, it's an experts group. It is not, these are not recommendations that we were to implement.
No. Stephanie, the EWG report did say the board accepted the EWG report, and in the report, it recommended that the board initiated with the GNSO the PDP process, and in the subsequent meeting with the GNSO, the board and the GNSO group agreed to a three-phase approach. The first phase was the RDS PDP that came up and you know, is now on hiatus. But that was the recommendation. A group got together and decided that this was something that this is always going to be action, and we actually started the action.
I'm not arguing that, Carlton. I'm saying this passage is extremely unclear, and if you are not deep immersed in this, you are not understanding what the paragraph says. That's my point.
It also implies that the PDP is currently RDS PDP is currently proceeding, and we expect it to complete. At this point, that is far from clear.
It's far from clear, but we can't leap to conclusions at this point now. We haven't leapt to conclusions over events that haven't happened yet in other areas. We should not take it as a given that the RDS PDP will be killed off. Many people want it killed off. Others don't.
I understand.
It's a bit like the stupid context with
okay.
law.
No. Stephanie noted this paragraph does need some clarification. Lisa and I will redraft it, and we'll send you a copy for clarity.
Perfect.
But I think I understand what you're saying. Lisa, put it as an Steph, you can add that as an action item explicitly for me and Lisa. Back to you, Lisa.
Thank you, Alan. And I believe that Stephanie's additional comment marked here as SP15 is sort of part of the same thing, but not really. It's questioning whether the EPDP will itself produce the single WHOIS policy.
I hesitate to say that it will. I think I agree with Stephanie at this point. It certainly will create a policy, assuming it completes, with which tells the registrars and registries what to collect and what to make available under what circumstances, or we believe it may come close to that. There are other aspects of WHOIS policy which are probably not going to be addressed by it, and although I'm not sure I can delineate them today, I would hesitate to say that that is the whole WHOIS policy.
Yeah, I think that's my point, Alan, in a nutshell. We scoped it narrowly, so a lot of things are left out to begin with, and then there's how much are we going to get done. So there's two aspects to this.
How about if we modify the words, and again, not trying to wordsmith, but we'll likely report at least some aspects of a single fit-for-purpose GTLD registration data service.
Yes.
So we'll add.
Okay, that's speculation. That's speculation too. I said likely.
And some of us are saying much less likely.
Possibly.
I think saying some aspects does not preclude all aspects, but covers our rear ends.
Let the record show that is just a speculative advice.
Noted, but you're not objecting, I hope.
I'm not objecting.
Okay, thank you. Let's go on to the next one, please. I note we're 45 minutes into the two-hour call, and we're just barely started.
All right, the next comment, SB 16, is on page 35, that the temp spec may be affirmed, changed, or thrown out, whereupon we have nothing, and so the assumption is in denial of the facts. Stephanie objects strongly. The statement is that we would expect the affirmed temporary specification will exist as a digital artifact and will be the base for a single documented source of all things pertaining to GTLD registration data. In other words, the temporary spec will be the new base for a single documented source.
How about if we just drop that whole sentence? I think it still fits.
Any objections?
I am still off Adobe, so I'm trying to get back on. I'm not sure whether that solves my problem or not. It could take my point. I mean, if we lose on the EPDP, we have nothing, zero.
Understand.
Back to square one.
Needs
to be pointed out, I suspect.
It says in the previous sentence says, in the event that the EPDP is finalized. Stephanie, you may want to go into the document Lisa sent just a little bit before this meeting, or maybe last night. I'm not quite sure which, but the Word document is completely readable, and that you may want to work from that. That's what I'm working from. I believe if we remove that sentence, but Stephanie can get back to us, sentence at the bottom of current page 34, then we're okay.
Is there any reason why I can't get back on Adobe that I'm unaware of? I didn't have any problem getting on this morning.
There is no reason that you should not be able to get on it.
Jolly good.
There is no lockout Stephanie button on the staff control.
I know.
I know
you want one, but still.
All right, so final sentence of section 334 will be deleted to address that comment.
I believe that addresses the issue.
All right. That takes us to section 335, which is the conclusions reached by on this recommendation. There were no actual new recommendations, so we don't have to call for any objections on new recommendations. There is an objection here on the conclusions reached. Stephanie's objection, and I'll just read it for expedience. Stephanie's objection to point two, item two says the adoption of the EWG's final report and development of the framework for the board-initiated PDP is intended to deliver a holistic next-generation policy framework that would address current set of fragmented and decentralized RDS policies. Stephanie's comment is that the EWG report the EWG report was accepted by the board. I have no idea what the official status of my dissent was. It described my, I can't even read it.
I think I said something like at one point my dissent was described as a blog, not a dissent.
Yeah, all of that is true, Stephanie, but the board accepted the report as written.
Sure.
They did not take action because of your dissent.
I know. And my only point is we make it sound like there was no dissent. We're just ignoring all the dissent, even though the dissent actually turns out to be somewhat relevant under the current circumstances. So, you know, to imply that we had done all this wonderful work, I think is inaccurate. I mean, you don't have to include it, but I just think we look silly. And, of course, it means I have to write about it, you know.
Can we do a footnote just saying Stephanie dissented? And maybe just put it over the whole report. Anything there's EWG, Stephanie dissented.
How about a footnote after when it says in item number two, EWG report, add a footnote saying there was one dissenting opinion, but that was not noted in the board's acceptance of the report, which I think is accurate.
That would be fine.
Lisa, do you have that?
Yes, Ellen. And I had actually raised my hand to say that, in fact, the board didn't adopt the report. They did accept the report and direct staff to carry forward with the board-initiated PDP using the report as an input.
Okay, then change adoption to accepted, please. And add the footnote on the report, noting that there was a one objection, which I believe the board did not note in its acceptance.
That is correct.
Okay. Next item.
Final comment on this section. It expresses a concern over the fourth point in the conclusions that the EPDP will address the adoption or adaptation of the temporary specification and will likely affirm a single WHOIS policy at the end of its work. Stephanie's comment is, of course, that this is speculate and overstates the scope of the EPDP.
Raised by the GEC.
Could we put hopefully instead of likely?
I like that. I like that.
I'm happy with that. I would suggest adding with the grace of the gods, but that may not be taken well in some circles.
Let's
okay.
Stay out of religion.
Likely instead of hopefully instead of likely.
All right, so those are the changes. Jean-Baptiste has recorded them in the notes pod. Are there any further objections to this section?
I can't really tell because I'm still trying to connect. Sorry.
All right, so I'll read them out. For your comment 13, we'll improve the readability of the question that the subgroup addressed. For your comment 14, Alan and I will draft a paragraph to address your comment. The sentence, we would expect the affirmed temporary specification will exist as a digital artifact and will be the new base for a single documented source of all things pertaining to who is, will be removed. That will address your comment 16. And then to address your comment 17, we will add the footnote linking to your dissent on the AWG report, and that the board did not notice it, note this in its motion accepting the AWG report.
Yeah, and change adoption to acceptance.
And then finally, for your objection 18, replace likely with the more aspirational hopefully. With those changes, are there objections to this section?
Well, I'm not sure that hopefully works. I'm quite confident that there are stakeholders in this assemblage who actually just hope it'll go away.
Stephanie, let me interject. I'm putting a huge amount of time into this. I am hoping. If I thought it was a waste of time, I wouldn't be there.
Yes, and ditto, but hopefully implies a position, and, you know, I just don't think it's particularly professional.
Look,
but if you want to use it, go ahead.
The time our report is finally issued, this sentence will have to be redrafted.
Go for it.
I think we have approval, Lisa.
Thank you. That brings us to recommendation 3. Don't worry, it will get faster.
I hope so.
In recommendation 3, Stephanie raises a comment on the introduction to the list of relevant research. That would be on page 36. She says, I realize that we say this for every section. Are we dead certain that every member reviewed every document? If not, let's delete the word all from the phrase, conduct its research, all members of this subgroup reviewed, following background material.
I accept that friendly amendment to remove, strike all in the introductory sentence of all of the sections.
All right, so that will be applied globally to the a similar clause in every single subgroup's output.
Carp seems to be wanting to say something.
Sorry, say that again?
Carlton, you say you're trying to say something? Has Carlton dropped from Adobe?
No, he said he could only type, but I don't know what that comment is in relation to.
Somebody had to be, I was muted. That's what happened.
Okay. What were you trying to say?
I was trying to say that, in, first of all, if you use the word accepted for a board decision, that's an adoption. Every board I've ever served on, if the board vote to accept a report, you adopt the report, the finding. I don't know what the practice is elsewhere, but in my part of the world, an exception is an adoption of a report.
Yeah, according to Lisa, the board adopted the motion but accepted the report. If that's the word they used in their motion, then I think we can readily use that word here. I do note that at times I have seen the board accept something, meaning they acknowledge it was delivered. They do not put any credence in the content. I happen to have lived through the many aspects of the at-large review over the last several years, and that is the terms the board used, and it was a very pointed acceptance, not anything else.
Right. Only,
so I'm happy
only
to...
In this case, they actually had a joint committee of board GNSO to take on the next steps. So, you know, that does say something.
And we acknowledge that. I take your point, Carlton. I'm not sure it's worth agonizing over at this point. we can certainly have the debate again when we go through the final version.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Alan. Go ahead.
Lisa?
Thank you, Alan. And thank you, Carlton, for bringing that up. I think we're still closed on the previous section, and we're now on recommendation 3. There is a comment on page 38, which is marked SP20. I think this remark would be seen as condescending to DPAs. The perception that DPAs do not understand ICANN's important work is, in my view, inaccurate, and suggest removing or rewording.
Okay,
and that
thanks.
Is in reference to the section, and one has to wonder whether the entire GDPR issue would have unfolded differently if ICANN had reached out to the EU data protection commissioners to educate them about RDS and its uses and benefits long before the issue became important to ICANN in mid-2017.
Okay. I hold a different position than Stephanie does regarding how cognizant the data commissioners are of who is, but I accept the point that the wording right now is inappropriate, and I would strike the phrase to educate them about RDS, who is, and its uses and benefits. So it now reads, if ICANN had reached out to EU data commissioners, data protection commissioners, long before the issue became important to ICANN in mid-2017. Stephanie, is that acceptable?
Yes, I think that's fine.
Fine.
Good. That takes us to recommendation 3.1, which begins at the bottom of page 38 and continues on the top of page 39. Stephanie noted that I think what happened is in accepting numerous edits to this recommendation, a period disappeared between the first and second sentences. So the edits that were made were to split what appeared to be a very long run-on sentence into two sentences and delete the word to and add the word it. And Alan, you wrote this recommendation. You may wish to confirm that actually is what you intended.
The board should direct ICANN organization to update all of the information related to RDS who is and by implication other information related to registration of second-level GTLD domains. And I note technically that also includes some third level, but I don't think we need to be that accurate. Domain should be no, that's not correct.
So it should be GTLD domains.
The domains
period.
The content should be revised with the intent of making information readily accessible and understanding, and it should provide details of when and how to interact. That's fine. So if we put the period after domains and add the content should. Good catch. And Carlton says he's now deaf. He cannot hear anything. This is getting exceedingly frustrating. And I'm sure even more so to Carlton.
Yeah, I have no internet signal at all, so I'm frantically trying to jack the satellite into my other desktop computer. So, I don't know. It's not going to be, you know?
Yeah, I know. Okay, are there any objections to recommendation 3.1?
With the modification. The first sentence ends GTLD domains, and then the second sentence begins, the content should be revised.
Yep.
Hearing no objections.
And I recommend I recommended this be a medium priority. Does anyone have any objection to that? Hearing nothing, seeing nothing, accepted. And we have closure on that recommendation, but we do have a comment on the implementation. And specifically, remember, we put a deadline that we should, originally the recommendation said do this after GDPR's, the dust has settled. We added a statement, I believe, at the face-to-face, should the implementation of this recommendation be deferred past fiscal year 2020, the existing RDS, who is related parts of the ICANN website, must be amended to cross-link with the various sections on the RDS portal, ICANN contractual compliance and registrars and ICANN Learn. Stephanie said that may not satisfy ICANN's legal obligation. We check with ICANN legal. I don't think that's our job to make sure that ICANN satisfies its legal requirements. We're simply saying that they can't avoid addressing this recommendation forever, and they should start it even if the RDS, if the GDPR dust is not settled.
The host has left the meeting to speak with meeting support and will rejoin soon.
I could live without those announcements, as much as I miss Brenda. And Carlton says audio is back. Good. Someone did something. Thank you. Does anyone have any objection? I understand this might not be against legal objections. That's not our department.
My comment was we've got timing issues in there. I would avoid that because I don't think we should be seen as recommending that we do something 2 years after GDPR or whatever it is. I can't read it. 2 years after GDPR implementation, if that puts us at risk. So if you remove the timing element, then we are not saying go ahead and wait until X to do this. Right now they're in default.
My problem with that, Stephanie, is ICANN has an obligation to document certain stuff, not to present it in an orderly and integrated way. And the whole gist of our recommendation is this all should make sense and fit together as a whole, not just piecemeal. They can satisfy GDPR regulations by doing it in a way that's wholly unacceptable to this recommendation.
Well, you're missing my point, but
No.
I'm not going to quibble about it.
Okay. I don't think I'm missing your point. I'm saying they can meet the obligations and still our objections, our recommendation stands as unimplemented.
My point, Alan, is I don't want us to be making a recommendation that actually is not in compliance with law.
Okay. Our recommendation is to make sure it's all integrated
In other words, they have an obligation to document. They also have an obligation to disclose. At this point, ICANN has not even achieved clarity on what its role as a data controller is, and there's no doubt that it's a data controller.
I'm not going to argue that. I just think the gist of this recommendation is different from presenting the information. They presented all of the information they had at the time when this recommendation, original one, was implemented, and we deemed it to be not acceptable because there were bits and pieces on other parts of the website that conflicted with it or didn't mesh with it well. And that's the gist of what we're talking about.
Okay.
Next, Lisa.
So we have
no objections and medium for 3.1.
Recommendation 3.2, again, no changes since our last call, but one comment on the rationale, pointing to the apparent lack of insight on all parts to understand how GDPR might impact Internet communities demonstrates why such outreach is crucial. It must include both traditional and non-traditional parties. Stephanie's comment is, given the length of time that the NCSG and DPAs have been talking about the impact of data protection law, I find this reputation of the need for outreach, because ICANN was unaware of GDPR, a bit eye-rolling.
I don't think that negates the sentence.
All I'm saying is your tone here is, gosh, we needed to do outreach to find out about this, whereas one of your stakeholder groups has been killing itself trying to bring this to your attention for, lo, these 18 years. So, you know, again, it's the tone of the document. Are you just ignoring us? Okay, fine, but that's like waving a red flag in front of a variety of bulls at this point in time. I think it's the tone I'm talking about here. You know, come on, include the reality that instead of we needed to do outreach to find out about this, we should have been listening to our own stakeholders. That's all.
All right. May I suggest a friendly amendment? After the first sentence of rationale, the need for non-traditional outreach was clearly understood by the first WHOIS review team. This need was supported by parts of the ICANN community.
Perfect.
Any objection? Done. Lisa?
All right, and so the proposed priority for this one is high, and as I said previously, we had no objections to this. Are there any objections at this time, or can we consider this recommendation agreed as well?
It's high, but it does presume that we have some level of dust settling first. Just noting that.
If I could interrupt here, Alan, I agree with you on that, but I think that applies almost across the board. So, you know.
Well, to the ones that are implicated by GDPR, yes.
Yeah, so.
Okay. I'm presuming the board and staff, assuming we ever make these recommendations as recommendations, I'm assuming board and staff will, to paraphrase, read all of the words, not just some of them. We can only hope. Lisa, back to you on Section 4.
All right. Moving on to Section 4.
Well, sorry, 5. Section 5, Recommendation 4.
Correct. Just to note, in Section 5 on Recommendation 4, Stephanie actually had proposed a few copy edits to the original WHOIS 1 recommendations language, and I didn't include that in the document since
we can't rewrite history.
Exactly.
Well, you could put sick in there if they're doing something that is inaccurate. And a footnote.
I'll leave that to Lisa's editorial skills.
Yep.
To do it or not as she sees fit. We're an hour and a quarter into the call already. Lisa, back to you.
All right. I'm scrolling forward to find the next comment. Bear with me just a moment.
It is on page 41, I believe.
It is?
I believe so.
That is my point, that I did not include the comments.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
All right. So the next comment, I believe, is on page 46.
My apologies.
Which is on recommendation 4.1. So just to refresh everybody's memory, the compliance section was split into those dealing with recommendation 4 and those dealing with the further review objective on compliance. So recommendation 4.1 is that the board should direct ICANN compliance to proactively monitor and enforce RDS data accuracy requirements to look for and address systemic issues. A risk-based approach should be executed to assess and understand inaccuracy issues and then take appropriate actions to mitigate them. And there is a comment then on page 46 on the feasibility of the recommendation. Recommendation would not be difficult for the compliance team to implement unless it requires a new policy, in which case a PDP may be required. Stephanie's comment is that should we not determine whether or not a new policy/PDP is required, rather than just saying it might.
I think that's worded appropriately right now. We don't know what methodology or type of proactive monitoring the compliance may do. It might require that registrars, for instance, report certain data, which they don't have access to, and that would require a PDP or negotiations. But so I would replace, in which case, a contract renegotiation or a PDP may be required.
Sounds good to me.
Okay. I just don't think we know what they're going to do, so I don't think we can say that for definitively. All right. Recommendation one, we had no objections. Do we have a priority level assigned to it?
We do.
Okay.
Although the document that we're displaying on screen does not display that. Susan provided her recommended priorities, which we included in the slide deck, and I believe this one was high.
I would tend to agree with that. No objections. Then we have this recommendation 4.1 accepted with no objections and priority set at high.
That takes us to, seeing no hands, that takes us to recommendation 4.2, which is the recommendation that the ICANN board should direct contractual compliance to look for patterns of failure to validate and verify RDS WHOIS data as required by the RAA. When such pattern is detected, an audit should be initiated to check if the registrar follows RDS contractual obligations and consensus policies. Sanctions should be applied if significant deficiencies in RDS data validation or verification are identified. And the comment comes again from Stephanie. It's on rationale, and it's really just a sort of general copy edit that in the case where a sentence would be spoken as if an RDS, that the A is N, A-N.
Yeah, just pointing out that RDS is pronounced as if it started with a vowel, therefore it needs an instead of
yeah.
A, point taken, and we have a superb editor, so I have no problem that will be addressed. Recommendation 4.2, accepted with no objection and accepted as high. Call for any objections? Done. Back to you, Lisa.
Thank you, Alan. I think there's nothing else in that section. And that would take us to Section 6 on data accuracy, which begins on the bottom at the bottom of page 47. I would just like to point out that in the list of reference documents, as part of copy editing, we have added a couple of links to the most recent ARS phase reports that are referenced in the text but were not previously included in this list. The first substantive comment, if there is any.
This is an unbelievably long section.
It is a very long section and very detailed.
It is.
Not
surprising based on who did it. That was a compliment, Lily.
All right. I think we may have no comments other than the recommendation itself.
Correct.
The recommendation itself is on page 60, recommendation 5.1. And the edits that you see on the screen here, are the edits that we agreed to during our last call, plus the addition of, Alan, I believe this was your suggestion, the text between the time the ARS report was generated and the time the registration was reviewed by ICANN contractual compliance.
Yeah, thank you. We had originally said they should look at anomalous results when the record, when the, that where the tickets were closed because the Whois data changed, and it was not clear why it was changing. I mean, it's not clear to us why it's changing, but the time frame wasn't changing, and what we meant is change between the time the ARS report was generated and the time compliance reviewed the registration data, and I simply added that parenthetical. Are there any objections to it? There were none last time. This is a placeholder recommendation. There's a footnote saying we're investigating why, and we will update it as appropriate. It was not rated, I believe, according to the...
That's correct. There was no priority given.
I would put to be determined, because it is just a placeholder. Once we understand the world, we may decide it's something really urgent or something not as urgent. So I'm not sure we have an official way to do that, but that is what I would tend to say.
So currently the bottom of page 61 does say priority to be determined, and we will leave
that
there.
I'm prescient.
You are. We will leave that there, of course, without highlighting, and I note that Lily and Erica both agree in chat.
And
Carl.
I would change it to not all uppercase. And
got it.
All right. And so we have 5.1 accepted and to be determined as the priority, and we're going on now to, I believe, the next recommendation is 10.1, but there's a lot of sections in between. Lisa, back to you. I'll note the time is 1 hour and 22 minutes, which I believe is what we had put aside for the complete review. So we are now officially running late. Back to you, Lisa.
All right, so we're on section 3.7, which begins on page 62, and this is the section on recommendation 10, privacy proxy service. And previously we did have agreement, or I should say no objections, on the two recommendations. There's some minor copy editing that was made in this section, but if you go to page 68 is recommendation 10.1. The board should monitor implementation of PPSAI in the event that PPSAI policy doesn't become operational by the time the board accepts these recommendations, that is about July 2019 or the 31st of December 2019. Then implementation timeframe notwithstanding, the ICANN board should propose an amendment. Assertion was Allen's to resolve the TBD.
Yeah, we had TBD yesterday. I'm suggesting that we use one of the two dates. That is the date where the board accepts the recommendations or the 31st of December 2019. That's Volcker's area. Do you have a preference as to which we use, or do you want to propose a third TBD?
Well, I would still like to keep this open. The PPSAI working group implementation review team has just today received an update that the legal review will be ready very shortly, and then we will start reviewing. So I expect it to be released this week. After that, I think we, just by leaving it open, we're not hurting anything, hurting or any issues. So, yeah.
When the implementation is adopted, registrars and privacy proxy services will be given some amount of time in which to put it into place. That's typically in the order of 3 to 6 months. I'm assuming the longer a longer one in this case. Setting it as December gives them a full year plus from now. I'm happy to do that. July might be a bit tight because unless they address it, adopt it very quickly, if and they give 6 months, July will probably not be enough. So let's set the date 31st of July, of December.
Yep. Happy with that.
Back to you, Lisa.
So we'll adjust this text to say by December, 31 December 2019.
Correct.
And implementation time notwithstanding. Okay. And
oh, no. We just factored in implementation time frames.
Yes.
I don't think we need that last phrase. We're saying operational is operational. The board will always have wiggle room. If they know what's going to happen by January 2020, they can simply ignore it. We're simply putting a stake in the ground.
All right. We'll delete that phrase. So the recommendation would read that the board should monitor implementation of PPSAI. In the event that the PPSAI policy does not become operational by 31 December 2019, the ICANN board should propose an amendment to the RAA that affiliated privacy proxy providers shall verify and validate underlying customer information provided to them in the same way as registrars are required to verify and validate other registration data. Any objections to that recommendation? And it was suggested as a low priority.
I think that's reasonable, low or medium. But if it was suggested as low, I'm willing to accept it. We think
seeing no hands, I think we'll accept that as agreed and low priority.
Yeah, I will note that the we're asking them to adopt as a as a new amendment is something that we believe for the majority of privacy proxy providers, affiliate ones they're already doing. So, all right, adopted and low. Next item, please.
Recommendation 10.2 appears on page 69, has not changed in any substantive way, and the priority suggested for it is low. We previously had no objections. Are there any objections?
Hearing none, seeing none, no one's typing. This is accepted and as low. Back to you, Lisa.
All right. That takes us to the bottom of page 69, section 3.8, recommendation 11 on common interface. Looking at the section, for any comments, I see none before the bottom of page 72, which is where recommendation 11.1 is given, and previously there was no edits to this. I'm not seeing any comments on this, and it was given as a low priority. Any objections to this recommendation?
This is the recommendation on the WHOIS portal to track what's going on.
Correct. Add metrics.
This is Stephanie. I'm just noting that I'm having one very difficult time following here. I have no internet at all at this point. Don't ask me what happened. So it's quite problematic.
But you don't recall any objections on this either. All right. I will judge recommendation 11.1 on to metricify the WHOIS portal as no objections and low priority. Next, Lisa.
That takes us to recommendation 11.2, which starts at the bottom of page 73, that the ICANN board should direct ICANN organization to continue to maintain the common interface, to keep up to date with new policy developments or contractual changes for contracted parties, to ensure that the common interface will display all publicly available RDS WHOIS output for each GTLD domain name registration available from contracted parties. That is, when they differ, both the registry and registrar RDS output could be shown in parallel. And I see a typo here, but the gist of this is that, Alan, you struck port 43 and suggested that this both be displayed when they differ.
Yeah. To reiterate the rationale, I believe we should be focusing on results and not methodologies for achieving it, and particularly not explicitly refer to a methodology which we know may not work at all. So I'm just remove the reference to port 43, and because some people may not be understand why we are recommending that both of them, both registrar and registry, be presented, I've made it clear that we are doing it because they may differ. And I know Volker had been vocal on this one. Volker, do you accept these two as friendly?
I think I do. Let me just, which page are we on right now?
If you're in the report, we are on page 73. If you're in the slides that were sent out, they are on slide 14.
I'm in the report, so... oh, it looks okay, I think. There's just a part of the words I'm missing between the first and the second section of the topic review, I think.
Say that again?
We're on page 74, down
73 in the middle.
Oh, 73 in the middle, sorry for that. Yeah, no objections.
Okay.
Yep.
Any last call for objections on this one in general? And it was rated as high. Hearing nothing, seeing nothing, accepted without objection and rated as high. Lisa, back to you.
Thank you. We are now at the bottom of page 74, section 3.9, which is on internationalized registration data. Recommendations 12 through 14, and don't believe there are any comments on this section. Were there?
No, we put that one to bed so long ago, and Dimitri found an error more recently, but corrected it.
All right, so that brings us to the recommendations, which appear on page 80. recommendation 12.1. Reviewing effectiveness of the implementation of recommendations 12 through 14 should be deferred. The board shall recommend that review be carried out by the next RDS review team after RDEP is implemented and the translation and transliteration of registration data launches. And that was, Dimitri had identified that it would not be in the top five for now.
No. I would tend to say that one is low. I mean, it's high, but it doesn't kick in for 5 years. So I would say to keep our tally down of how many we are saying high, we make that one low because it doesn't really make any difference.
And I know Dimitri agrees in chat.
Otherwise, we're going to be looking like we're saying everything is high and we'll be criticized for that. All right. I see no objections to both accepting it and to setting the priority as low, and we will go on to the next section, please.
Next section begins on page 81, recommendations 15 and 16, plan and annual reports. I have a feeling there was one change to this section. Yes, it was a change to the wording of recommendation 15.1 on page 84. Recommendation 15.1 says the ICANN board should ensure that implementation of RDS WHOIS 2 review team recommendations is based on best practice project management methodology, ensuring plans and implementation reports clearly address progress and applicable metrics. And Stephanie suggested a word was missing here. The word applicable metrics and tracking tools are used for effectiveness and impact evaluation.
Good catch.
And the priority of this one, I believe, was identified as medium. Are there any objections to this recommendation or this section?
Hearing nothing, seeing nothing, no one is typing, adopted at medium.
Very good. Moving forward, section 4, objective 2, anything new, which begins on page 85. There are no recommendations made in this section, and no comments on this section. I believe we previously had agreement on this. Any objections at this time?
Yeah, before we get there, sorry, what page are you on?
So it ends on page 88, the section does, and I believe it begins on page 85.
All right, other than that we have a to be provided on for section 4.6.
Yes, which we have on a couple of sections. We had agreed in our face-to-face that the GDPR impacts would be provided if possible, but if not, in our next draft.
All right, anytime we have a to be provided, if we're not addressing, just remove the square brackets, put it in proper case, and remove the highlighting, and we'll fill it in sometime later.
Will do.
Okay. We have two recommendations for law enforcement, and I believe they were rated high with one objection from Stephanie. And if you want to go over the specific objections, I would appreciate it, Lisa.
Will do. Getting there now. Also a long, detailed, but very interesting section.
Long section.
Click we have.
Who are we?
All right. So recommendations begin at the bottom of page 102. And you may recall that in our last plenary call a week ago, we again reworded the second recommendation, LE2, to have it refer back to LE1 to define which surveys and studies were being referenced, and then to delete the words such as cybersecurity professionals. The revised recommendation, LE2, says the ICANN board should consider extending and conducting such surveys and or studies as described in LE1, to other RDS users working with law enforcement. And Stephanie had previously voiced a recommendation on, or excuse me, objection on both of these, but in particular had an objection to the inclusion of cybersecurity professionals, which, of course, is no longer there.
All right, so we need clarity. Stephanie, are you still objecting to LE1? LE2, you were objecting to because you don't believe ICANN should be doing studies on behalf of cybersecurity workers, or at least I'm paraphrasing what your comment was.
Yes, hi. Just a typo on LE1. Regular data gathering through surveys and studies is to be conducted by ICANN. It's the data gathering which is singular.
That's in the second line.
Yep. And you're telling me that the cybersecurity professionals are gone now, such as law enforcement? How does it read now? Because in the
17.
It says the ICANN board should consider extending and conducting such surveys and or studies as described in LE1 to other RDS who is users working with law enforcement.
Yes, consider is way better. So I'm happy. Thanks.
Okay, and we also had you noted as an objection on LE1, but I don't know what the objection was.
Not sure either.
Then?
I think you're okay.
Then we'll catch you at a soft moment and say you accept it.
Yeah.
So in both cases, we have no objection now.
Actually,
and in both cases, we have high. Sorry, go ahead, please.
I think it's worse now by eliminating the paraphrase, such as cybersecurity professionals, but from the users working with law enforcement. That now can mean any Joe or Schmo that feels like reporting who is inaccuracy issues to law enforcement or other issues to law enforcement. I just think that there is some merit to having it limited to certain
okay.
circles. And by removing the reference here entirely and not replacing it by something else, we're moving into a territory where everyone would be asked to contribute to such studies. I don't think that's what we're
all right. I don't read working with meaning I submit an unsolicited report.
Maybe we should clarify what we mean by working with them.
I think that's the point. I do agree with Bulker. When I hear working with, I assume under contract two, in which case there's delegated authority.
Okay, I do not do that. And remember, we did use other words last time, and Catherine pointed out that that was a technical term which was had very specific meaning, effectively contracted with or by formal agreement. So whatever that expression was, we decided not to use that at that point. Can't remember what that expression was, but...
I'm happy to come back in and explain again my point, if that would be helpful.
Well, I think we eliminated that expression, and we said we wouldn't use it, whatever it was. So I think working with was the fallback that we put in. Can you come up with
yes,
an expression that is suitably weak but does not imply anyone who happens to call in with a spurious complaint? Working with, I would think, is not... It neither implies contract, nor does it imply a random event.
Yes, I would agree with that.
Can I say something?
Please go ahead.
Yeah, I don't think working with implies it's contract. Look, the baseline is that if you have information, you should be in a position to share that information. Normal safeguards applied to other parties who are working toward the same goal. That's what we are trying to achieve here. I think it's perfectly reasonable to say working with.
Volker, I see your hand up, but let me propose a phrase going forward, and you can comment on it. Add at the end of it on a regular basis. Volker, does that address it?
Not quite happy because someone who's sending police reports in is also doing that or might be doing that on a regular basis. So I'm still not 100% happy with it, but I also don't have the perfect solution for that we could use right now. And thinking about it would hold us up, so we could just keep this open. I like the suggestion Stephanie made that some form of empowerment would be required. Because that would be these quasi-law enforcement agencies that ICANN has been talking about in some other instances already, and that would sync with that.
Yeah, my reason that I had no problem with it is I view working with as a bilateral arrangement. arrangement. That is, it's not just someone feeding information into, but interacting with at some level, you know, such as...
Exactly. There would be an agreement.
Well,
and the agreement would outline how the data is used and so on and so on and so on.
I doubt you'll find an agreement between the anti-phishing working group and law enforcement, but that doesn't mean they don't work with each other.
Absolutely. I mean, one of the problems we have is that we've been using the APWG output in several ways, Spam House output in several ways. I see no reason that if ICANN would do a survey and we have some information from the survey that could be helpful to what they work with, I don't see why we would not choose to share it with them. Conditions apply.
Can I try to get closure? We have two choices, either the expression as it stands now or adding on a regular basis, which means it's not a one of. Volker, I'll give you your option which to accept, since you said it, your objection is not strong enough to voice it as an objection, I think you said. Which do you prefer, with or without the phrase?
With.
With, okay. Then we add, anyone objecting to taking the recommendation as written right now with the modifications, adding on a regular basis at the end.
That's good enough.
I hear no objections, and so we'll take it as accepted with high. Back to you, Lisa. We are at 1 hour and 45 minutes. We are going to run over the 2 hours at this point, but hopefully not by a lot. Lisa?
All right. So just noting that on the bottom of page 103, where we have one objection noted, we will replace that with no objections.
Correct.
We are now on page 104, section 6, objective 4, consumer trust. And there are no comments on this section and no recommendations made. Are there any objections to this section as written?
Maybe,
sorry, what page are you on, Lisa?
Page 104.
Thank you. I'll be honest. I wasn't fully happy with it. But I wasn't at the stage where I made any comments. I'm going to try to do that today. If I have anything substantive, I will send it out and make sure we get agreement verbally, not verbally, agreement on the list, or at least no objections. But I'm not. I have nothing at this point.
Alan, are your reservations strong enough to prevent us from adopting this section at this time?
No, I suggest we adopt it as is, and if I make any change, if I suggest any changes, those have to be adopted on the list. I may never get around to it, to be honest, but I'm going to try.
All right, so section 6 is adopted as is with no recommendations. That takes us to... Section 7, Objective 5, Safeguarding Registrant Data, which begins on page 112. And in this section, I do not believe we had any substantive comments. We do have a recommendation, of course, which is recommendation SG1. It begins on page 114, and there was one, I guess I classified this as a copy edit, but I should raise it. There was one insertion that in consultation with data security and privacy experts.
I consider that a friendly amendment.
And this recommendation, Alan, you identified this one as medium-high, so
yes.
Which is it, medium or high?
This is an interesting one because although it is accurate in what is written, if you look at the temporary specification, they go into some excruciating detail about specifying the level, the methodology for both safeguarding data and requirements to report. So if the EPDP is successful, and certainly today under the temporary specification, this one is rather moot. I'm happy to put it as medium.
Are there any objections to this section as written and this recommendation ranked as medium priority? Carlton is typing.
None.
Hearing none, seeing none.
Let's move on.
The next section, which is Objective 6, ICANN Contractual Compliance Action Structure and Processes, Section 8. And this is where most of the recommendations that were previously under Recommendation 4 moved. We have a comment in this section, and it is on Recommendation CM2. So let's take a look at Recommendation CM1 first. And that would be, I think, on page 125. Right, so starting on page 124, recommendation CM1 is the recommendation that the board should negotiate contractual terms or initiate a PDP to require that GTLD domain name suspended due to RDS contact data which the registrar knows to be incorrect and that remains incorrect until the registration is due for deletion should be treated as follows. And you can read the points on your slide. But there have been no changes here. Are there any objections to this recommendation with a priority of, Susan, remind me, how did you classify this one?
It was rated high.
High.
I'm not Susan, but I'm reading a slide.
Sorry, what page is this recommendation on?
It begins on page 124.
The title is on 123. Which I presume will be fixed when we do orphans in the final read-through.
Correct. And again, this was previously agreed to. Just looking for any objections to be raised at this time.
My numbering appears to be different from yours. So we're talking about CM2?
CM1.
CM1.
Just after the 8.5 recommendations title.
Gosh, I wonder what I did. This is coming on my page 120.
Pagination can be different depending on your printer, too.
Yeah.
It's a data quality issue. That's it.
Yeah, this is the one there were some objections in at the Panama meeting, and I believe we have made sure the wording is a lot clearer now.
Yeah.
Call for any objections and objection to the high priority rating? Hearing none, seeing none, I will accept it as accepted and go on to CM2. Sorry, Lisa, you said there was a comment in between.
The comment is on CM2. Okay. So we've noted that CM1 is accepted as is with the priority high. CM2 is the ICANN. It begins on what in Adobe would be page 125. The ICANN board should direct ICANN organization to assess grandfathered domain names to determine if information is missing from the RDS registrant field. If 10 to 15% of domain names are found to lack data in the registrant field, then the ICANN board should initiate action intended to ensure that all GTLD domain names adhere to the same registration data collection requirements within 12 months. And you may recall that we agreed on compromise language and a footnote in our last plenary call. We made this 10 to 15%, and we footnoted that input was requested on the appropriate numbers.
Thank you. And I have a comment that it's not exactly what my comment says, but essentially I'm saying I don't believe the first half of this recommendation and second half are aligned. Because we say you should initiate action intended to ensure that all GTLD names adhere to the same registration data collection requirements. That implies to me a level of validation. But at the first sentence, we say if the information is missing, which I read to being empty.
Oh, yes, but that's a validation. Is that a validation?
Well, empty does not meet validation, but if I put spurious information in, which would not meet validation, it's not missing. So the question is, do we mean the test in the first half of this recommendation is the same as not passing validation, or are we talking about explicitly missing? Volker, please go ahead.
We're talking about explicitly missing because we're talking about the differences between the grandfathered domains and the non-grandfathered domains, and that spurious information is not what that is actually concerned with. We're concerned with domain names that are missing certain information because it hasn't been provided at the time of registration because it wasn't required then.
Okay, but if information provided is spurious, it will not pass validation, but it will pass the missing. Are we happy with that? I'm not trying to argue for a change. I just want to make sure what we're saying is consistent.
Yes, we are talking about missing data, missing field.
So if
that's what this is about, missing
if data. The action has to be taken, you know, because for instance the 10 to 15% number is exceeded, then the action taken may apply to more than just the missing. I'm happy with that. If everyone else is, I'm happy with leaving the wording as it is. I think we can delete the comment and accept it as it is written.
And the suggested priority for this recommendation was?
Medium.
Can I in here? It's Stephanie.
It says medium.
Just let me clarify. As currently written, basically what we do, this relates only to the if we discover the spurious data, well, that's a discovery that happens in another section and category of data. In other words, bad data, right?
No.
Yes. That's about accuracy.
That's about accuracy. This
yeah.
is about thing.
That's
right.
Correct. This would only be this would only be triggered by missing data.
Correct. Okay, good. Thank you.
Correct.
And something which could be determined if anyone had run the data through to look for it. But at this point nobody has done that, so we are requesting that it be done effectively. Accepted with no objections and medium. Last call. Done.
That takes us to recommendation CM3, which in the draft on your screen is on page 126. Recommendation CM3 is that the board should direct the organization to review RDS records of GTLD domain names sampled by ours for each region to determine whether lack of knowledge of RDS and accuracy reporting tools or other critical factors are responsible for low RDS and accuracy report submission rates in some region. Previously, we had no objections to this, and the suggested priority of this recommendation was
medium on the chart.
Any objections to the recommendation as medium?
I just put a question to Susan. Would you have an objection lowering it to low? I can't see this one as a real hot one. I think it should be done, but I can't see it as a real hot one, nor is it particularly hard.
Yeah, I would be fine with that. Low would be fine.
Thank you. then the consensus call is for accepting with no objections and setting the priority as low.
I see Carlton agreeing to that in chat as well.
And I see no objections. On to CM4, please.
CM4 is that the ICANN board should direct the ICANN organization to publicize and encourage the use of the book, Who is an Accuracy Reporting Tool, or any successor tool. That appears on page 127 of the document. No previous objections to this, and the suggested priority of this one was?
Low.
Any objections?
I see no objections, and I did have a and to set it as low, and I did have a comment that I'm willing to drop at this point, but I think it merits at least some level of consideration. And the question is, do we want to consider a footnote saying that we are considering expanding the recommendation to include a recommendation that contractual compliance consider different, more efficient methodology in analyzing bulk data submissions where such data identifies patterns of problems. I'll remind the group that contractual compliance, if you submit bulk data, so you can submit 100 requests, 100 items, or 1,000 that say all of them are bad in the same way, and they will act on them and investigate them one by one. And not necessarily take action on the fact that there's a pattern, nor reduce their workload based on that pattern. And it's clearly too late to add a recommendation now, but I think it's a note, I believe it's a note that is worth adding. It doesn't commit us to anything. Can I have any comments on that?
I'm not quite sure what you're trying to achieve with that.
What I'm trying to achieve is not having ICANN org try to squash this because it is going to potentially create a huge amount of work. I'm giving them a methodology which they haven't seemed willing to accept in general to do shortcuts for that class of bulk data submission. So I'm just opening the door to say we are considering it and look for comments. Those comments could well come from contractual compliance since we have a commitment from ICANN.org to comment on what we're saying.
I would like to give some background on this because this is something that is likely to complicate the handling processes of these complaints when they arrive here. We, as registrars, as contracted parties, prefer having one domain name complaints simply because of the reason that if you send us a bulk of domain names in one complaint, then we will likely have to address them with different resellers, have to copy and paste parts of the complaint, edit out others that doesn't concern this reseller or that customer. Even though they may look similar on the end of ICANN, they may not be the same, have been registered through the same channels as the other domains in that package. So for us, receiving them one-on-one makes it actually easier to deal with them as we work through those.
Let me jump in here.
Carlton, if I may respond to Volker first and then you. I'm happy to modify the footnote further to say, and that would include potentially different methods of interacting with registrars. All I'm trying to do is lay the seeds for the fact that to make it more possible to address these kinds of endemic issues without radically increasing the amount of work. If there's strong objection to including it, we'll just omit it altogether right now. But I think it's worth laying the seeds for. Carlton, please go ahead and then we'll go back to Volker.
Yes, this is Klaus, and I think it's worth laying the seeds for it. Let me tell you what's happening here. In a lot of cases, they because of the way they approach this single complaint by complaint, they tend to lose patterns. And if you look at some of the injuries that are caused, they're caused by multiple domains from the same person registering with the same registrar reseller, and the injury is the same. And usually, they look at each one individually. I think it's important for us to put there, we have the same argument in the CCRT, that there has to be some way for ICANN compliance to start looking at injuries in terms of waves of injuries and put them together.
Okay. Thank you, Carlton. We are 5 minutes after the hour now. Volker, let's come to closure on this one way or another quickly.
I think I have no issue with the way that that ICANN compliance has different ways of looking at complaints. I'm just saying that when they send them on to us, then they should be in the current format, because that makes our work easier at the time. We can, on our end, still combine them and tell ICANN that we have combined them and work that way. I just have issues with ICANN suddenly changing their process, the ICANN compliance process suddenly changing their process of working with these complaints after we've had this back and forth over many years, that we've got them just in the way that we need them.
Okay.
Just a side note, I don't see that the bulk who is inaccuracy reporting to will have much use after GDPR, but that's, of course, subjective.
That may well be the case, certainly for European registrations. Volker, to be clear, are you objecting to this footnote, even if it makes reference to interactions with registrars? Or are you accepting the concept, and we'll try to reword it to your satisfaction? Your choice, quickly.
Lisa put something in the chat that you might want to reflect on. I think it works.
Let me just read that. Yes, I think the analysts, if we reference only the analysis part, then we're good with that. Because then it doesn't impact the way that these are actually treated and handled. That's good.
Okay, I'm not quite sure what the difference is.
And thank you,
between what I wrote and...
Nothing, Alan. It is the text that you suggested.
Oh,
and just noting that CC meant ICANN contractual compliance.
Ah, okay. All right, so I think we have agreement to add a footnote, and we're going ahead. No objections, low priority, add a footnote. And Lisa, back to you, CM5.
CM5, the ICANN board should recommend the GNSO adopt a risk-based approach to incorporating requirements for measuring, auditing, tracking, reporting, and enforcement in all new RDS policies. And I don't believe we have any comments on this.
We had no comments, we had no objections, and it was rated as high. Anyone want to raise an objection right now? I hear nothing, I see nothing. It is accepted. Next one, Lisa.
I believe that is it for that section, and it takes us to Section 9, ICANN Bylaws. Which begins at the bottom of page 129 of the circulated document and continues on to page 131. The recommendation and the introduction to it appear at the bottom of page 130 of the circulated document. The text that you see changed here are the changes that we agreed to in our last plenary call.
And to be specific, we are saying eliminate the safeguard registrant data section because it is will be redundant. Eliminate the reference to the OECD, or eliminate the OECD, and replace it with a section with a more generic requirement for RDS Who Is review teams to assess how well RDS Who Is policy and practice addresses applicable data protection and cross-border data transfer regulations and best practices. Are there any comments?
Good change.
Volker said he's happy with it. Last call.
And this the priority of this one, Alan?
Again, this one is the trigger is the next review policy. I would put it as medium. If they can't get around to it in 5 years, it's not our problem. Well, maybe one or two of our problem, but we're still here. But.
So are we approving this with low priority?
Medium.
Is Chris still on the call?
I don't see him.
Yeah.
Let's say
medium. If Chris advises that low is sufficient to actually get it done, I'll take the executive prerogative and change it to low after consulting with Chris. But let's set it as medium at the moment.
And you've got three people saying medium is good in chat.
Yep.
All right, so we will consider this one adopted as amended, shown on our screen, with medium priority.
All right, folks, we have now accepted all of our recommendations with no objections, all unanimous. I thank you for this. I didn't think we were going to get to this point. Lisa, back to you. Is there anything else we need to review at this point in the report before we deem the report subject to editorial review is complete?
There's nothing else in the report itself. Just to note that copy edits, which are defined as basic cleanup of grammar or format, can still be applied as we try to prep this report for submission for publication. There is also an appendix where all the reference documents will be listed, and that will be filled out. And then if there were any statements of objection, they would have been added to the end of the report. However, I think we ended up with no objections on everything.
Well, there's no objections on any recommendations. There could conceivably be objections on other content of the report. If there were any objections, they have to be filed in writing by 2359 UTC this coming Wednesday. I'm hoping there will not be, but if there are, we welcome them and we'll append them to the report. If there are any changes in substance, and there may well be, as we're editing, we find some inconsistencies or something that needs to be changed. I would suggest we essentially, as soon as we find any of those, one by one, we put them out as an email to the review team. What should we prefix the subject with to make sure you really notice it? Do we use urgent or report change or what? How about just report in capital letters as the prefix for anything that may influence the report, that we need an online consensus call? Erica says urgent. We will do some combination of report urgent. Fine. Report urgent doesn't take up too much space, and it certainly will be noticeable. Noted. Next, back to you, Lisa, or back to me if it's my turn again. I've lost track.
I would just point, this is Lisa, I'd just point out that on screen you should see the recommendations and priorities list with all the priorities that we've agreed on today and the fact that no objections have been raised on any of the recommendations that are listed here.
Excellent. And I like the fact that we have a nice combination of high, medium, and low. So it looks like we're doing our job.
And
well,
Jean-Baptiste, I believe, has some closing slides to show you.
Thank you, Lisa. I hope you can hear me now.
Yeah, Carlton has something to say before you go ahead, John Batiste. Carlton,
go ahead.
No. I just asked you to look at the email I sent you.
Ah. Okay. Easier said than done, but back to you, Jean Batiste.
Thank you very much, Alan. Just wanted to go back, saying a few words about just the with your roadmap reminder on our next steps. So by the 29th, this is the deadline to submit any objections in the draft. By 1st of September, this is the target to release draft reports. Mid-September, we'll organize a webinar to present your draft recommendations. And we have proposed the date for ICANN 63, where the community input on draft recommendations and possibly organize meetings with other SONACs. And on the 13th of November, the public comment summary will be presented for adoption. Any questions?
The only other question I have is, do we meet next week? I think we deserve a week off. Anyone believe there's something we have to do next week?
Can I say that if after this reading we get some substantive, maybe we have to meet, but I think it is tentative.
We'll keep the meeting scheduled.
I feel very good that we have.
Carlton, you're suggesting that something might come up which would preclude us actually releasing the report, and we may need to discuss that. Is that what you're saying?
I am suggesting that we don't say not meet next week. We
no, but
we just go hard on this one.
Okay, but the rationale is we would meet if something comes up which stops us from releasing the report. Correct?
Right.
Thank you very much.
Correct.
The meeting is not canceled, but hopefully we will not have anything which cannot be resolved on the email list. Susan
correct.
Says she can meet on Tuesday. Does that
no,
mean
on Monday.
Susan?
Monday is a U.S. holiday.
Ah.
We actually don't have a meeting scheduled for Monday.
Ah. Okay.
You will forget.
Okay, let us say we will schedule a meeting. Well, hold on. Tuesday, I believe, is an EWG meeting, an EPDP meeting, is it not?
You can't do that.
At the same meeting. I believe there's an EPDP at the same time. No, the EPDP is over by this time. All right. We will tentatively hold a meeting on Tuesday, understanding some people may not be able to come if we have any disastrous situation which preclude us issuing the report. And we'll deal with that eventuality if we get there.
Okay.
So, Alan, we should not schedule that meeting unless something exceptional happens.
Why don't you send out a calendar invite for it, noting that it will only be held in dire circumstances? Carlton, I did not find any email from you, so let's talk about it on chat if we need to and once this call is over.
Okay.
All right. Lastly, I'll note that the invitations were sent out for travel to Brussels for our face-to-face in December. Please make your reservations and other arrangements as necessary.
Oops.
And with that, I'd like to thank everyone. I didn't think we were going to be able to come to this point of actually have something ready to release and get unanimous consent on all of the recommendations. We are here. I think we all deserve a pat on the back, figuratively. And I thank you all and wish you a good day. Thank you.
Thank you all.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.